This is Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid Podcast.
Okay, that was nice. I like whoever prepared that one, whoever prepared that music to the intro. Thank you for setting that one up. Damn, that was a jam. I should have just let that run for a while. You would think that we had like a radio station going, and this wasn't a podcast about football. That was a nice one, man. That was a nice one. All right, so welcome everybody to episode 5. Man, we've really gotten through these in the last, I feel like it was just yesterday that we started this podcast and we're already 5 deep. Of course, there are other podcasts that have like 100 and something episodes or 400, 500 episodes. So this is just getting started. But we are excited to be here. I am excited to be here for what is the episode that is going to talk about match day 5 for Real Madrid and La Liga Santander. My name is Eric Rivera, and this is Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid podcast. And welcome once again to the show. Thank you very much for joining us, and thank you very much for supporting everybody. I really appreciate it. I've been getting people rating on the on Apple Podcasts, so keep that up, please, because that is one thing that I just wanted to bring up before we get into the discussion about this weekend's games, and especially the Real Madrid game. But yes, please, if you guys listen to the podcast via Apple Podcasts, please remember to rate the podcast and also to comment. Because Apple Podcasts obviously has a system that the more engagement, you know, it's how all of these social media platforms work. So they work on algorithms. So basically, you know, the more positive comments we get and positive ratings, then obviously the visibility goes up and more people are going to be able to see the podcast on the lineup for sports. And, you know, when it comes to, you know, the wide library that Apple Podcasts has, and then they divide it in different categories. So, you know, we would like to be up there one day with one of the best sports podcasts, but there's so much good stuff out there. So, anyway, if you are listening, and I know many of you are, we've been very happy with the results, even if it's just 30, 40, 50, 60 people, but, you know, we're already moving into, you know, over 100 downloads per episode. So that's been awesome. So I thank you guys very much. Obviously, I can't thank anyone, but also as well, not only you guys, but the power of Real Madrid, I think, attracts people, whether they're people that are Madridistas or anti-Madridistas. Real Madrid always gives people something to talk about. So if you're a hater, hate on. And if you are a supporter, please support on. And thank you very much for joining us. It's all fun and games, man. We love this sport. It's not just about Real Madrid, but it's also about just, for me, obviously, we want, as a Madridista, we want Real Madrid to do the best. But, of course, also just very happy to see football continuing to grow, especially living here in the United States. Once again, you know, if you don't know, and this is your first time listening, I'm based here in Miami. Just the growth of the sport and seeing it grow here in the United States, you know, whether people are watching the Premier League or Serie A or La Liga or Bundesliga, League on, you know, people are just getting access to football everywhere. And that is what we want, especially in a huge market that is the United States, you know, where it's dominated by so many other sports as well. You know, to finally have football and being able to view it easier here in the United States was something that many years ago, if you go back to the podcast number one, when I explained how I got into football and how I got into watching Madrid, you know, many years ago, I'm 37 now. So many years ago, you really did not have the chance, if you were here in the United States, to watch European football. It was very hard to come by. And it's just amazing to see what everybody can access nowadays, you know. And, you know, my kids can watch the games. You know, I'm getting them into being Real Madrid supporters, obviously. But it's just awesome. The growth of the sport has been awesome. And, you know, more podcasts about the sport, no matter what team you support, are popping up. And it's great. It's great. So with that said, if you guys want to follow me on social media, please follow us at Inadamas Podcast. That is at Inadamas Podcast. And we are on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Inadamas Podcast. You can also find our website is inadamas.net. I post all the episodes there, as well as, you know, just post up what the match schedule, what match is coming up next. We eventually obviously want to have a blog. I want to have, you know, a stable of writers, you know, people that are getting into, maybe people that are getting into writing, because we, you know, I am working on a limited budget and we are working on a limited budget. So just people that are interested in getting, you know, maybe dipping their foot into sports journalism. If you're like a student or something and need writing hours and things like that for here in the States, I know a lot of people need those. So, you know, just hit us up. Hit us up if you're interested in supporting the cause, supporting the Real Madrid podcast. I don't have a Patreon or anything like that. I'm not, you know, this podcast is not behind a paywall. Not that that's a bad thing for the people that do that. I'm just doing this because I love the sport and I love Real Madrid, and I want people to know about this team and, you know, follow it and get into it. And if it helps them get into football too, as a whole, it's a great thing. So if you're interested in writing for, Inadamas, please hit us up at info@inadamas.net. That is the email. So any, questions, concerns, direct messages that you have for me or for anyone on the staff, please info@inadamas.net. So with that said, guys, it was match day 5 today. And yesterday. Today I'm recording this is on Sunday, so all the games have come to a close. And, you know, it was a pretty interesting match day. I mean, I think a lot of things are starting to see how a lot of teams are shaping up. I think, you know, like I said on the last podcast, we were talking about how many people were really, I think, in a lot of times, Madridistas tend to be very reactionary. Our fan base is, I don't know, sometimes, you know, I'm on Real Madrid Twitter or just Twitter for football and everything that has to do with, you know, the Spanish press and the press and football and everything like that. And it's just, there's a lot of negativity always surrounding Madrid. And I think it's just, there's always, it's kind of like, you know, here in the United States, you know, if you guys are listening and you're not from the States, you know, but like here in other sports, you have, you know, these huge franchise teams like the Yankees, let's say, for baseball, that have been so dominant for so many years that like people just hate on them because of the fact that they were dominant for so many years. You know, it's like people that also, when it comes to the NFL, they hate the Patriots. For a long time, it was the Celtics when it came to basketball, or the Bulls, or the Lakers, you know, teams that were really dominant for some time. So to have, when teams are dominant in any league, there's always an amount of hatred because, you know, it's the team that always wins and they feel like there's a favoritism always towards them. And honestly, I think Real Madrid has been, you know, it's always the one that the media focuses on. And it always seems to me that they focus on it in the negative, because everybody just seems, in Spain, you know, it seems like everybody just loves to hate on Real Madrid. And for the last, I guess, 10 years or so, that, you know, the Messi effect at Barcelona, everyone just loves to praise Barcelona if you're not part of Madrid. You know, if you're part of Madrid, you know, you're always going to hate on Barcelona. But if you're not part of Madrid and you're an anti-Madridista, you're always going to kind of, I wouldn't say you're going to support Barcelona, but it seems that they're always lifted up to higher regards. And I think some of that has to do with the Messi-Ronaldo dynamic that was apparent for so many years, and his perceived arrogance, Cristiano's perceived arrogance, and Messi's perceived, I guess, demeanor of being quiet and sort of not somebody who boasts, you know. But I think that played into it. You know, it was kind of this, the arrogant team against the not arrogant team. And there's political aspects to it, but whatever. But either way, you know, not to get into all that, the Real Madrid just gets a lot of hate all the time. And we get hate from our own fans. So obviously we've had, you know, the run of the last few games hasn't been the most impressive. Winning games via, you know, 1-0 score lines or one goal score lines, you know, beating Real Betis 3-2, tying with Real Sociedad 0-0. Supposedly dubious penalty calls, dubious red cards to our opponents, as people would say, you know, VAR just being absolute garbage or whatever. And I agree that VAR is absolute garbage in La Liga. It's just not being used correctly, or it's... So before you could blame everything on the ref, and now it seems like they use VAR to sort of take pressure off the ref and sort of justify the actions, and you kind of don't know. VAR is like this hidden... They're hidden in a room somewhere, so you can't, you know, pinpoint... You can't really point the finger at the center ref anymore, because he could just say, oh, well, that was VAR's decision, you know? So I think it's being used sometimes to really just get away with bad decision-making, especially in La Liga. I mean, I've seen it used in other leagues, and it just doesn't seem to be as controversial as it is here. Now, obviously, Barcelonistas and culés basically are always going to say that Real Madrid has the advantage. But, you know, and then Madridistas are going to say that Barcelona has the advantage. But I really think that in this, while that may be the case that they do favor, you know, these two big teams, or, you know, and probably other teams such as Atletico maybe and Sevilla, you know, the bigger teams. But I don't see it. I see sometimes there's decisions across the board that are just terrible. And we'll get into that in a little bit in the La Liga recap, because there was an absolute horrible call I felt during one of this weekend's games that I, you know, it's on Twitter if you guys want to look for it. But anyway, so talking about the game, so the game against Levante, not an easy team. I think, you know, they're a pretty quick team. They're a team that does not hold back. They don't sit back, you know, and park the bus, as they say. I really think there was a lot of pretty good things to take away from this game. I think the one thing that I would take away from this game, so Zidane went back to the 4-3-3. So we started the game off with Vinicius on the left flank and Asensio on the right flank, and Benzema obviously as striker. And we started off with a midfield that we knew was probably the one that he was going to go with, which was, since Kroos is injured, you know, Modric, Casemiro, and Fede Valverde, who's been doing really well. And then obviously we have that situation, and when it comes to defense, we have that situation with our right back, with Dani Carvajal injured. Obviously now we heard, well, Dani Carvajal is out for, I believe it's like 2 months now, because it's his MCL. And then Odriozola suffered a injury in training, so we don't have any actual right back. So obviously this came, and the arguments came from Madrid, and Madrid Twitter were all about Hakimi and how, you know, it was a terrible idea to sell him. And while I didn't want to sell him, obviously, Hakimi has been doing incredibly well in both Borussia, was doing incredibly well at Borussia. And I don't think he was going to play second fiddle to Carvajal. He was not, the kid definitely wants to play, and he was going to be given guaranteed playing minutes at Inter that he was not going to be given here with, you know, who I think, you know, and people in Madrid Twitter like to hate on it, but Carvajal is just our number one player. You know, he is our guy. And Ashraf Hakimi didn't want that to be the substitute. He wants to be the main man. So, you know, I don't know why people hate on it. It's not like we sold him because we sold him. You know, I know there were some things about him saying that, you know, Real Madrid didn't call him and things like that. But because Real Madrid and Zidane obviously had Carvajal in mind as their number one starter. So I just, you know, the hatred that comes to Zidane and the team for having sold Ashraf Hakimi, you know, he's a great player. I love him. And, you know, I hope we do get him back. You know, we do have first right of refusal for, you know, to if he chooses to leave Inter. So, you know, I think really Odriozola the other day, he showed that, you know, as a sub, he's pretty solid. He's not great. I'm not saying he's a world beater. I don't know why there's so much hatred towards the poor kid. But it's just a lot of Madridistas are like that. So Today, we obviously didn't have either of them, so we had Nacho at right back. Then, obviously, we have our tried and true center backs, which are Varane and Sergio Ramos, which did a phenomenal job today. Courtois in goal, who did another phenomenal job. And then at left back, today we went with Mendy, who, you know, he's proven time and again. I mean, I really like the hustle from this kid. You know, while I really would love to have seen a Reguilón and Mendy fighting for that left back spot, Mendy is got a lot of talent. I liked today. He had a good game today. He was, you know, making runs up and down the field. He's got that speed, you know, cutting inside. He was doing a lot of great work, you know, and teaming up with Vinicius there on the left flank, you know. So what I liked about the 4-3-3 was the same thing. So I feel like the last few games that we've tried the 4-4-2, and Zidane seems to kind of play a diamond when it comes to the 4-4-2. And the thing that we lack there is like the width, and then we also lack the speed up and down our flanks. You know, Fede is pretty quick. Fede is a pretty pretty quick for a center mid, but you know, he is not Asensio, and he is not when it comes to, you know, running up and down the wings. He's not Asensio. He's not as creative as Asensio. He doesn't have Asensio's left foot and, you know, to shoot on goal. But he is a workhorse. But it's just we have this, it seems that the team, you know, from what I saw in the first few minutes of the game, and in every minute and every game that we've had so far, the one thing that I've been able to observe is that we come out very aggressive and very strong in the first couple of minutes of the game, and it looks really solid. And I think one of the things that they were saying is since because Madrid didn't have, and what I mean by they is the, you know, different pundits, football pundits and commentators, the one thing I've been heard from them is obviously that since they did not have a preseason, you could tell that there's been a kind of a lack of fitness where the team seems to get tired towards almost like we could see it a little bit today. It's like they score a goal and they kind of lower their guard a little bit. And then in the second half, they seem kind of spent. I think that has to do with, there's just not the consistency of play that they're now getting, you know, and we're seeing the fitness levels go up. We're seeing that they're able to sustain a rate of play that's more aggressive and that's, for longer periods of time. And I think this game, the one thing that we can take away from this game against Levante is that, you know, for me at least, the 4-3-3 seems to be the formation that this team has always been comfortable with, especially under Zidane. With 4-4-2, I feel like while I like the added firepower of, and I've said this before, I like the added firepower of Jovic, it takes away from our speed, it takes away from our width, and they look a little confused, you know, in the midfield as to what they're supposed to be doing. The two sides of the two center mids that play the, you know, the left and right of the diamond, which are, you know, Modric and Fede, are sort of trying to figure out where they're supposed to be. And then you have a creative, the creative midfielder role, who, you know, we never really played with a number 10, and we have an Isco who's not really playing his best, an Odegaard who's still kind of getting used to the team. We don't have a James anymore, which I hate to say it, but, you know, I love James. You know, I'm Colombian and I love the guy, but I'm starting to think that, you know, he may have not fit in our old plans, but if we were going to play a 4-4-2 more often, if Zidane's going to play a 4-4-2 more often, then you did make a mistake in getting rid of James, especially considering, you know, how his form has been at Everton. You know, they've been winning they've won all their games. He's been solid in every game. He scored a brace and got an assist over the weekend. He looked solid again. So it kind of proves that, you know, maybe all that he was missing was minutes on the field, which is all the kid was asking for the longest time. So those are the type of disagreements that definitely a lot of Madridistas have with Zidane, you know, and how he seems to be picking certain players over the other because he's just more comfortable with them. But not always because it might be the best for the team. But I mean, again, I'm not going to argue with Zidane because, you know, I'm just a guy sitting behind a computer and he's a guy who was a world-class player and has won us, you know, 11 titles as manager. And people like to say, oh, well, he had Cristiano and he had, you know, the BBC when they were, you know, in their best form, when Modric was younger, you know, Kroos, Casemiro, you know, a younger versions of Marcelo and, you know, the entire team, the core of our three-peat Champions League winning team. But I don't think that's it. I think part of it is he is grinding out these games. You know, he is grinding out these games, although it's unfortunate. And he said as much today that he wanted to make Courtois suffer less. Because Courtois has been the one who has had to come up big. He's been sort of, in a lot of ways, man of the match each game for us because he keeps on doing what he can to make sure that we don't get scored on. And he can only do that for so long, especially considering we haven't played the top teams yet. You know, watching Sevilla, you know, look the way they looked against Barcelona today, I think Sevilla is one of the teams to beat. And against the Sevilla, we can't make mistakes that are going to give chances to Sevilla to be in one-on-one with Courtois and have to depend on Courtois to save him. Because when you're going up against better teams, and especially a team like Sevilla who is playing some great football, we're going to end up scoring more goals. We're going to end up losing the game because we're going to end up receiving end of a lot of goals. Just because it seems like we can't control the tempo of the game, or can't control the midfield at later portions of the game. So as the game goes on and we sort of lack the fitness, lack the resolve, the commitment to sort of keep the other team at bay. We lose our, I mean, I think one of the sad things is we seem to be losing our aggressiveness, our creativity, because there's a lack of creativity in trying to find goals right now. We just have a lot of players that hustle. We do have players that hustle. We have a Valverde who's just, you know, a complete machine, but he can't last, you know, 90 minutes playing at that level. Modric is 35 and he's putting the rest of the team, I think, in a lot of ways to shame that at 35 years old, this little Croatian dude is running around and, you know, playing world-class football. I mean, there's no other 35-year-old player, 35-year-old midfielder in the world right now that plays like Kroos does. I mean, sorry, that plays like Modric does. He is, you know, in his age group, at his age and in his position, you know, the best in the world. You know, I just think he's still such an asset to this team, and he proved it again today. I mean, he was all over the pitch. He created chances. He made tackles. He made a tackle interception. He made an interception again, you know, pressuring the defense of Levante. Made an interception, got the ball, passed it to Benzema, and Benzema hit the post. You know, this is the same thing he did against Valladolid. He stole the ball, you know, and tried to score a goal, and it hit the post. I mean, it's the second time he's done that, and he's just creating plays, and he's just making amazing runs, and he's just controlling that midfield. He's bossing that midfield. So going back to my point was, you know, the 4-3-3 just looks better. I think we look more solid. I think we look more aggressive. I think we look more creative. Vinicius, I think he's starting to find, you know, he scored a beautiful curler from the left, you know, from the left flank after a corner, you know, that was, you know, that wasn't cleared well. And then they just kind of all got caught ball watching. And it seems like, you know, and Vinicius was wide open and he had all the time in the world to place a beautiful curler in the top right-hand corner of the goal. So it was great to see him score like that, you know, because everyone always criticizes deflection and whatnot, but that he scored with deflections and things like that. But he just He looked good. He wasn't great. So he scored the goal, but that doesn't take away from the fact that while I think he is probably our best and most aggressive player, he is our biggest threat in that sense because he can make those runs into the box and make those dribbles, and that's what he adds to the team. But he is still lacking in the finishing ability. I mean, he missed another sitter today. He misses the easy chances, but he scores the hard ones. And that happened again today. And then sometimes in the final third, he makes, you know, when it comes to passing, he makes bad decisions. But he's just relentless. And he is just, like I said, it's repeating ourselves at this point, is that he is dangerous on the left flank for any team. So we need him. And I think the 4-3-3 is really where we feel strongest. From what I'm seeing. So I think, like I said, good speed by Real, more comfortable in the 4-3-3. All three forwards were rotating positions. So Asensio and Benzema were rotating. And then at some point, Asensio was on the right and Vinicius was on the left. Vinicius was on the right and Asensio was on the left. So they rotated a couple times, but it was more a rotation really between Asensio and Benzema. Benzema likes to drop back. He likes to get more creative. You know, he's not your typical target man, which we've talked about before. You know, Levante added more pressure after the 25th minute. And then Real Madrid, you know, Nacho in that right back position. I think he did a pretty good job at some points, but he's definitely not a right back. And we got saved by the post when I think it's Vukušević, player from Levante, basically beats Nacho at the far post and almost scores an equalizer. And, you know, so that's going to be an issue when we have to face teams like Sevilla, when you have an Ocampos, let's say, running up and down the flank, having to play one-on-one with somebody like Nacho and even Odriozola. That's going to be, you know, dangerous when you have an Ansu Fati that's going to be going up against an Odriozola, you know, or Nacho, depending on, you know, how long they're going to both be out. So that is kind of a worrisome part there for Madrid. In the second half, Modric comes out, you know, just the same way he started the game. He's just been solid. I mean, I just can't say enough about the guy. He's one of my favorite players in Madrid ever. Like I said, he set up that clear goal scoring opportunity that Benz missed. Benz, once again, not his best game. I mean, he scored the second goal of the game to put us two up, but not his best game. And I think one of the things that I still don't like, that I still kind of criticize, is that it just seems that Zidane is so hell-bent on never taking Benzema off. Even today, you know, you could have put Jovic on at least the last 10, 15 minutes. Granted, you wouldn't have gotten that 2-0. We don't know if you would have gotten that that second goal. But he wasn't playing his best again. Just give the other guy some minutes to rotate in, you know? Because one of the things that I felt that Zidane messed up was, and I think a lot of people were agreeing, the things that he messed up were the changes that he made in the second half. For me, just kind of seemed like they were, number one, that he was completely content with a 1-0 game, even though Levante was pouring on pressure. They were the better team for much of the second half towards the end of the game. You know, once again, it's like every game we're suffering in those last 25 minutes, 30 to 25 minutes of the second half, we're suffering. You know, it's just, I don't understand. It just keeps on being like that. And then Thibaut Courtois, again, has to be the one that's just kind of making sure that we don't get scored on. The defense is working overtime. Sergio Ramos and Varane are doing their job, thankfully, you know, keeping that clean sheet. So that trident there of Courtois and Varane and Sergio Ramos are doing their job to keep everybody, keep those goals at bay and give us the clean sheet. But it's just always, for as a Madridista, and a lot of us, you know, are saying it is like you're suffering with each game. It's just, why can't these guys put a game away? And why are we having to win so gritty, you know, like just sort of where everyone's nervous until they may, you know, the final whistle blows. So, Vinny missed, you know, that was one of the things, you know, we could have brought on Jovic. I think he was trying to, you know, solidify the midfield, which Modric was already getting tired. Fede had a good game, but it wasn't as good as the game that he had the other day, as his last game. So, you know, and then Vinicius misses a clear chance that I think if he would have left it to Modric, who was right next to him, Modric would have put it in the goal and we would have been two up earlier. They were giving headaches to Modric in the midfield with Fede and everyone. We're giving headaches to Levante throughout the game. But then obviously, like I said, they slowed down. So then here's where I didn't understand it. I felt like bringing on Odegaard and Isco, when neither of the two have really been playing well, and then you have a Levante that's attacking, you know, and then you bring on a Lucas Vazquez, you know, you also bring on a Lucas Vazquez, Rodrigo, I can understand. You know, Rodrigo, I can understand bringing on Lucas Vazquez. I don't know, man. It's just bringing him on was, you know, I like the kid, you know, I like the kid. I don't think he's a bad dude. And he, you know, he does work hard, but at the same time, he's just not a, you know, when was the last time you were like, oh, Lucas Vazquez was just playing amazing today. He's an other, you know, he's just an incredible talent. He's just a backup and he's not even that great of one, you know? So bringing on Lucas Vazquez and Rodrigo, I feel like you take out two of our attacking and I get the Lucas Vazquez because he's a little bit more defensive. So you take out two of our most solid attacking players. Although Rodrigo's pretty solid, but you know, on his good day he is. But then you put in Isco and Odegaard to make up for Modric and Valverde, who are both players that are a little bit more defensive, but they're both also guys that push forward. With two guys that aren't really, neither one is the defensive player. They're both creative for sure, but you know, I just think I don't know. You know, what are the chances of you getting a goal at that time out of Isco and Odegaard? What are the chances right now in the form that they're in? I'm not saying Odegaard is bad. I'm saying, you know, just for this game, when Levante was seemingly getting the upper hand, I don't understand those changes. It just seemed like you were almost not capitulating, but you were saying, you know, okay, well, it's 1-0. Let's try to put some fresh legs in there and ride this out, you know. I don't know. I didn't like those changes. I don't think they really helped anything. I think they just kind of kept things going the same way that they were. We were still getting attacked. And then obviously, you know, when we finally got in the dying minutes of the game, Benzema scores 2-0 and obviously gives us 3 points, you know, certainly gives us the 3 points, and everyone, you know, breathes a collective sigh of relief. Besides that goal, I mean, if it wasn't for that goal, I think we would just have all been, you know, on pins and needles until the absolute end, although we only got saved, what, like a minute or so of being on pins and needles. When Benzema scored, it was already, you know, extra time. So I don't know. It just, the changes I didn't like. I liked the going back to my previous point though, I like the 4-3-3. I like it better. I would like to see one game possibly against, you know, as we get further into the season, I would like to see Zidane trying to play Jovic more in a starting lineup, you know, see how he does when he is the target man, you know, having the wingers work for him and focusing on him and him feeding him the and the in the midfield, working with him to get the balls to him and see how he, because we don't play with a like a we've never played with a solid number nine, you know, because Benzema is not it, you know, he is not a number nine target man in every sense of the word. Well, target man, yeah, but you know, he's good with his back to the goal and everything like that. But he is not your poacher. He is not your guy that's going to stay there in that spot waiting to get a ball and then finally, you know, score it. The problem is a lot of times he's going to be out of position because he likes to drop back or drift to the left or drift to the right. And so sometimes we're left without anybody in the box to push the ball into the net. You know, and I think we need somebody like that just to see how it goes. You know, somebody that we can have there as a reference in the box, and somebody with the goal scoring prowess that we know that Jovic has shown in the past. Maybe give him a ride out like that in the 4-3-3 formation, which I think is the better one for this Real Madrid team. You know, obviously when Hazard comes back, you know, and you know Hazard in that interchange with Vinny, I think is going to be great. Odriozola, I'd obviously choose him over Nacho, even though he's obviously not the best, still the best substitute for Carvajal. But, you know, I think we'd have a little bit more stability there. But still, I feel like there's still a lot of stuff left to clean up in this Madrid team. But and the changes from Zidane, man, it was just those weren't in this type of game when we're getting sort of it's the dying minutes of the game, and you know we want to put the game away. I don't know if the changes he made really helped at all, because Rodrigo, I mean I know you want fresh legs, but you had better chances with scoring with guys like Asensio and Vinny on the field than you did with you know Lucas Vazquez and Rodrigo on the field. Martin Odegaard, I'm cool with bringing on. Isco, I don't know, man. I don't feel like he's had a solid run of form lately. I think our guys are, you know, definitely our guys in our midfield are Fede, Casemiro, Modric, and Kroos when he's fit. You know, and he's going to be fit soon. You know, I think once he gets back, once we get back from this international break, I think he should be fine. Because the knock that he had was seemingly not something that difficult to overcome. So those are my thoughts on the game. Like you can probably get from my tone. I liked the game. I mean, I'm glad we won 2-0. I don't like to criticize the team in the sense of them being, they're not a terrible team. They're a great team. I think we have a lot of talent there. It's just not, like I said, it's not 100% polished yet, but it's going to take time for that. And I think we're seeing it from every team in the league. Every team in the league is in a difficult spot. I think none of the teams in the league are showing, I would say, like that you're just absolutely blown away by their football, except I would say the one team that is showing that they can possibly be the thorn in everybody's side this season is Sevilla. Not even Barcelona. Barcelona today once again showed very much so. I think, you know, the funny thing is let's get into the Liga recap, and then we'll talk a little bit more about Barcelona as we get to those games.
It's time for your La Liga results recap.
All right, so here's your La Liga results recap. Match day 5 obviously started yesterday, Saturday. Valladolid and Eibar started the match day out with a 2-1 win for Eibar over Valladolid. 10-man Eibar basically defeats Valladolid. Goals by Tony Villa for Valladolid. Then Esteban Burgos scores a goal by penalty for Eibar. And then Kevin Rodriguez scores a goal in the 90th minute to put Eibar up 2-1 and give them that win. And this is something that, you know, it's funny that a lot of people haven't been talking about. And I think a lot of people on Twitter were talking about, you know, how that Madrid, Real Madrid gets a whole bunch of crap for not looking the greatest, not scoring, lacking goals. And then you have a team like Atletico Madrid, which is stacked with talent right now. I would say they're stacked with, they probably have more attacking talent, you know, and goal score, proven goal scorers, well, besides Benzema for us, than Real Madrid has. You know, you have João Félix, Diego Costa, Luis Suarez. Then you have, you know, other players like Carrasco, Ángel Correa. You have guys like Coque, Saúl, all these guys that are just top-notch players. And Atletico Madrid has gone two games that they've ended the game 0-0. I mean, and that is once again going back to the criticisms that I think Cholo Simeone has been receiving, is that his football is not a pretty football. It's just very defensive. And at this point, it's not getting results. You know, where people were fearing that with Luis Suarez and Joao Felix, and then after that 6-1 thrashing that they had over Granada, everyone was feeling like, oh my God, this is the team that's going to kill it, like be the one that everyone's going to be afraid of. They've just hit two games now where they can't find a goal. So it's funny that the criticism goes toward Real Madrid when, you know, this is a team that's gone goalless on two occasions already. With all the firepower they have, you know, Real Madrid, which is kind of in a, you know, we haven't bought any players. We're cool with what we have. We have a lot of injuries and, you know, things are, you know, we've been kind of shaky. We've been the ones getting criticized, but Atletico Madrid doesn't get criticized. So it's funny just how things work like that in the press. If anything, I think Atletico Madrid should prove what they can do with all this that they have, you know, at their disposal. Anyway, so they end the game 0-0. Not much to talk about there. Obviously, no goals scored. Elche and Huesca were also ended the game 0-0. Not many goals yesterday except for, obviously, the game. Real Sociedad brought the goals. Actually beat interesting game there. Real Sociedad beating, you know, a team that's been tough, which is Getafe. Real Sociedad scores. Oyarzabal scores a penalty. Mikel Merino in the 79th minute, and then Porto in the 81st minute to make it 3-0 for La Real over Getafe. And then the final game of yesterday's matchups was Valencia versus Real Betis. Real Betis wins the game 2-0 with goals by Sergio Canales and Cristian Tello. So then we go to today's games, and today's games, Osasuna defeats Celta de Vigo 2-0, goals by Facundo Roncaglia and Jonathan Cayeri. So that was Osasuna's win over Celta Vigo 2-0. Celta fresh off that 4-0 loss also that they suffered at the hands of Barcelona. So Celta Vigo, these are the teams that, you know, Celta de Vigo. Was it surprising that they lost to Barcelona the way they did? That Barcelona, you know, a lot of people were saying how Barcelona was looking amazing and everything like that. 3-0 loss that they had against Barcelona, Celta Vigo. You know, people were saying, yeah, amazing, you know, amazing performance. You know, of course, Ansu Fati, great. Sergio Roberto scores, in extra time. They were down to 10 men. Messi, there was an own goal, you know. So Celta de Vigo is not a tough team right now. They're not doing really well. Valencia is suffering a lot. They lost against Real Betis. Valencia has been kind of off and on for a little bit. You know, they had a 1-0 win against Real Sociedad last week, during the week. But you know, they're still struggling, and they're struggling financially from everything we heard as well. So. Anyway, so moving on, then Alaves wins over Athletic Club. 10 men Alaves beats Athletic Club, who has been on a terrible run of form. And they're actually right now going into the international break. They're in relegation zone, a team that's never been relegated. So the goal scored by Alaves was Rodrigo Eli in the 74th minute. Ruben Duarte from Alaves gets a red card in the 86th minute. And then Cadiz faces off with Granada 1-1. Cadiz is scored by Iván Alejo, and Germán Sánchez Barahona scores a goal in the 27th minute for Granada. So Granada was leading the game, and then Cadiz equalizes in the 48th minute. And this is the game where I was talking about that VAR is ridiculous. You know, people. So, number one, in our game, the next game that I'm going to talk about is the Real Madrid game, because that was the game that was after the Cadiz game. So if we were to look at the Real Madrid game where Sergio Ramos scored that header that was called off because he was supposedly offside, that VAR verified as offside. You know, it just didn't look offside to me at all. Even with the lines, it looked like it was a stretch that you would call that offside. But anyway, I mean, they looked at it, whatever. They said, no, we won the game. I don't care. But still, I feel like it was a bad call. And then this was a Cadiz. I forgot who the player was. Who the player was that got fouled. But there was a clear penalty on a Cadiz player in the box. You can look all over Twitter. Look up Cadiz Granada penalty, you know, penalty call. It's been all over, and it was an absolute clear penalty. The defender from Granada bulldozed his opponent. And I think what they're trying to say is that since Cadiz's player was able to play the ball, or he tried to, I don't even know if he tried to play the ball, but he just, you know, he shifted the ball off his foot in order to probably make space. But the other guy plowed into him, basically dropped him, ran into him, bulldozed him, you know, body and all, you know. And it was just a clear penalty, you know. And I just don't know how VAR did not, how, and then VAR doesn't call it at all, you know? And so they, you know, there is some, obviously there is some merit, or there is some legs to, you know, people saying that VAR in La Liga has been inconsistent, that has been applied inconsistently, consistency, that the refereeing in La Liga needs a lot of work. Yes. But the point where they always try to bring up like VAR is, affecting, you know, or favoring big teams, even in this case, protecting Barcelona. I mean, you know, I would say making a case for Barcelona as well, where it's always protecting the bigger teams. You know, this was Cadiz Granada, you know, so it was a clear penalty for Cadiz, a team that was just, you know, promoted. I think they deserved that win over Granada. If they were given that penalty, definitely would have changed the game. And it was just a bad call. It's just a bad call. And I just, something needs to be revised on how these calls be made. And I know Barcelona fans, if anybody's listening, because they had a call supposedly that Diego Carlos made a foul on Messi in the box. And they're trying to post these pictures. They're posting these pictures. So moving on to the Barcelona-Sevilla game. Barcelona equalizes. They draw a game with a tough Sevilla, 1-1. Sevilla could have won this game. It was actually a great game between both sides. But Sevilla looked more dangerous. They couldn't capitalize on a bunch of chances they created. Barcelona created some chances too. Griezmann just not looking good, not capitalizing on those chances at all. But Sevilla really had a lot of opportunities to go up and score. The only goal that Barcelona scored was a bad mistake by Jesus Navas, where the ball just fell, you know, just fell favorably to Coutinho to score. But besides that, Sevilla looked outplayed to me. Barcelona looked outplayed to me. Sevilla looked the stronger side. They have some incredible talent. Lucas Ocampos, Jesus Navas, all these guys are just playing fantastic football. Luke De Jong, Rakitic just looks like, you know, the better version of himself. The one that was at Sevilla and caused him to go to Barcelona and get picked up by Barcelona is back with Sevilla again. Every player is solid, man. They're just looking great, and they deserved more. But then Barcelona is calling on a Barcelona was saying that, you know, Diego Carlos fouled Messi in the box, and I don't, you know, they're sharing all these photos of him stepping on Messi's foot. But he's stepping on Messi's foot was after the fact that he had already cleared the ball. So he clears the ball and his foot ends up falling, you know, basically falling on Messi's foot. That's it. So he gets the ball out and his foot touches Messi's foot. But he had already gotten the ball away. He clearly played the ball. He didn't bulldoze Messi like the other, like I was saying, the other Cadiz player got bulldozed in the penalty area. This was a good call. This was a good call. And then you also have with the other VAR, I guess, controversy was the one that, you know, Soria brought up. You know, he's a clown anyway. But brought up against Casemiro, not getting a second yellow. You know, I think it could have gone either direction. I mean, it's just like, you know, Casemiro, I think the first one wasn't even a foul. The first one was definitely a foul. Actually, think about it. Yes, it was definitely a yellow card. But the second one wasn't enough to give him another yellow card. You know, you could have if you wanted to be harsh. So it's really up to and those are decisions that are up to the ref at that moment. It's not like they're, you know, I don't think they're favored one or the other. It's just they're made up at that moment. I feel like, you know, against Barcelona, they Lenglet got two stupid fouls that he committed, and he got a red card. And he got a red card from that ref. Casemiro, you know, didn't get the second yellow. Maybe he should have. I don't know, but they just decided they didn't decide on getting it. It's not like this huge conspiracy to make Real Madrid win, that Barcelona players feel or Barcelona fans feel that that's what it is. And Barcelona being denied that penalty against when Diego Carlos, who's a very solid defender, clearly gets to the ball first and takes it away from Messi and then just happens to hit him. Or, you know, happens to step on his foot, which wasn't even that bad of a foul, or even, I would think, even a foul. You know, they just cry me a river, man. You know, everyone's going to be on the receiving end of bad decisions throughout this season because the VAR has been inconsistent for every team, you know. Has been inconsistent. So you can't complain that VAR favors one team, like only the big teams like Real Madrid and Barcelona, or when they also take away what I feel was a clear onside goal for Ramos. You can't say it favors them when they deny Messi a penalty. And you can't say it favors any big team when they take a clear, more clear cut than anything anybody has ever seen as a clear-cut penalty in the box, penalty, you know, a foul in the box, than the one that they didn't call for Cadiz against Granada. So you really can't make the case that VAR favors anyone. What you can say is that the consistency is that they are inconsistencies in VAR. That is what you can say, based on everything we saw from this weekend. So people need to calm down with the pointing the fingers and saying, oh, you know, Madrid gets favored or Barcelona gets favored. Da, 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 da. The problem is the ref. The problem is the reffing and the use of VAR in La Liga. It's inconsistent. So that's it, guys. I think that I've said my piece of this weekend's games, and that's pretty much it. So I just wanted to say once again, that's the end of our La Liga recap. Thank you guys once again for listening to the podcast. We will be back. Obviously, I'm going to see if we do a podcast, even though we're on international break, just to talk about maybe the state of Real Madrid. Maybe take a look at some of the performances of some of our players as they play there with their national teams. But also just take a look more at Madrid while we're on break. So, we'll do that and, probably sometime next week. So maybe, same time, same channel. We'll do that for episode 6 of the podcast. Until the meantime, thank you guys for joining me again for this episode of Y Nada Más, el Real Madrid podcast. Once again, you can always find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Y Nada Más Podcast. So that the handle is at Y Nada Más Podcast for Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Our email address is info@ynadamas.net. And our website is www.ynadamas.net. Podcasts are there. Next match, all that type of stuff is going to be up there. So thank you for joining us. And remember, if you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts, please, please leave a rating and please leave a comment. Help us grow. And thank you. Thank you to everyone that's listening. And follow me on Twitter. I'm posting away on Twitter, all the madness that is football Twitter and Real Madrid Twitter. So follow me there. At Y Nada Más Podcast, follow the whole team there. And basically that's it, guys. Thank you again for joining me for this episode, and I will see you again. You will hear from me again soon.
This has been Y Nada Más, al Real Madrid Podcast.